You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
These teachers unions don't care about the children because the children, by the way, they hardly transmit COVID. That's what the data says. They barely get sick from COVID. That's what the data says. But they don't care about that. They would rather be protected, stay at home, make it easy for them while they continue to get their salaries, as opposed to doing the jobs that they were hired to do, which is being in the classroom every day and educating our children.
Those are pretty strong words from Congressman Byron Donalds. He's a Republican of Florida. Here we are, January the 5th, 2022, and he's talking about what's happening in Chicago, thousands of miles away, but all interlinked because children and their education and their mental state are connected, be they in Chicago, California, Seattle, or Florida. What he was referring to in part was the leaders of the Chicago Public Schools suddenly decided last night to cancel classes starting today. Why? The teachers' union. What do you expect? The teachers' union voting to switch back to remote learning due to the surge in COVID-19 cases. How many times do we have to tell you, not you, but these teachers who supposedly are educated, yes, you may see more cases of the sniffles, the flu, you know, flu-like symptoms, coughs and so forth. Send that child home, but you don't shut down the whole classroom. But the teachers' union in Chicago decided, no, that's what we're going to do. And you know why they can do it? Because they have power, voting power. The Chicago Teachers' Union president saying the union planned to meet later today with district officials. But he said, our teachers don't want to return to in-person instruction until the current Omicron-driven surge has subsided. We could be in flu season for months on end. So you're just going to keep these kids at home? You're not going to give them any additional training? You're not helping them whatsoever? Is that your plan? The answer, Larry, is yes. Just yesterday, I played a clip, and you're going to hear it again later today, of the new New York governor who replaced disgraced Andrew Cuomo. And Kathy Hochul obviously needs to be concerned about controlling COVID in the state of New York. But she said she's also concerned about the children. And she said, we don't need any more studies to show us that the children are not vulnerable. Not as vulnerable as adults, older population, unless they have morbid issues. They say we don't need any more studies, so we're going to fight to keep our kids in class. And then she added, ask any parent, and they will say with a year of lockdown learning by monitor, no classroom instruction, our content, our kids have changed. Listless, depressed, inactive. That's what she recognizes as the governor of New York. But the Chicago Teachers Union and teachers unions across the nation say, oh no, we're not done yet. Listen, we got a great program lined up for you today. This program is going to include a special guest I've asked to join us, and you're going to absolutely love him. George Noory of Coast to Coast AM, the most recognized overnight talk show in America, 600-plus stations. George Noory will be joining us here on the program later over the next 2 hours. You don't want to miss his interview because we've talked in advance about some of the things and some of the people that called George Noory, and he has an answer. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deck don't like it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
If the case was so lockstep and sealed and the deal was done and they had all the evidence in the world that this was the big worst thing in the world, why, Mark, has nobody actually been charged, nobody ever been charged with the actual crime of insurrection? And why do they have to falsify text messages to make their point?
Carl, good afternoon. Look, I don't think this investigation is a hoax. I think there's some value to it. But I think it's beyond irresponsible for them to make stuff up, for them to do things that sow doubt about what they're doing. And I think if they can't get their act together, they should consider going in a different direction.
That is a question that appeared on Newsmax TV asking if the Democrats really don't have their act together and they continue to falsify information about the so-called January 6th insurrection, if they don't really have anything, why don't they just admit it? Well, we all know the answer, don't we? That was a softball question. I'm not criticizing Newsmax TV for asking it. I say ask the question. Let's just see what the response is. But we know that the response from the left is going to be, oh, no, 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 we got a lot more here. I mean, they had Congressman Haskins on the floor of the House reading a fake memo that had been sent, and they took it as a fact. And so did the state-controlled media. A statement that indicated Trump was all about rioting on the Capitol and just going to let it happen and let the legislators pay for it. We told you yesterday about a lengthy New York Times editorial over the weekend. This one headline should tell you everything. Everything. Here's the headline. The New York Times editorial over the weekend, in advance of January 6th, the anniversary date of the so-called insurrection at Capitol Hill, which is tomorrow. But the New York Times editorial headline reads, "Every day is January 6th now." So said the New York Times editors, warning that lawmakers, Republican lawmakers in 41 states have been, quote, trying to advance the goals of the January 6th rioters, not by breaking laws, but by making them. Stop it. Stop it right there. I still ask anyone who has that opinion, bring me the law. Put it in front of me. Send it by email. What? Carrier Pigeon, Pony Express, get it in my hands that says, see, this law that's been changed in Georgia or Texas or Mississippi will prevent minorities from voting. And when I look at your law, and if it says something on there, you must show identification. And you're going to claim that that's preventing folks from voting. I'm going to say, well, let me put it this way. I'll ask one simple question. Does this law say only black or minority citizens have to show identification? No, it doesn't say that. It just says you have to show it. And many of them don't have a way to get it. Give me a break. If they fly on planes, they have to have identification. If they want to go into theaters and restaurants in New York City now, they have to have proof of identification of a vaccination and a picture ID to go with it to show that you're not using someone else's ID. The restrictions in New York City now, based on needing a documentation of a vax with your picture, is more severe than anything you saw under Jim Crow law. But that is not what you're going to hear from the Democrats. You're also not going to hear them say that Jim Crow law was actually instigated and carried out across the South to keep blacks and minorities from voting by Democrats. Democrats ran the South at that time. You want to vote? Write your name. Let's see you write your name. Oh, you can write your name. Okay. Look at this jar of pennies. Tell me to the penny how many pennies are in this jar. In other words, they were giving them additional qualifications to vote that no one else had to face, unless they were of similar color. So anyone who's claiming, as the New York Times editorial board, what a bunch of nonsense out of what you supposedly take, many, unfortunately, as all the news that's fit to print, saying that Republican lawmakers in 41 states have been trying to advance the goals of the January 6th rioters, not by breaking laws, but by making them. In other words, they didn't go out there and cause any kind of law breaking, but they're making up new laws to prevent you from voting. I ask again, give me the evidence. Put it in front of me. By whatever means you want. And then assure me that it is only directed at a particular minority, ethnic, religious group. Prove that to me. Now, if they're illegal, they're not entitled to vote, period. And yet already in some of these Democrat blue states such as New York, they're allowing illegals to register to vote. Now, they're not allowed to vote in federal elections so far. They're allowed to vote in local elections, in school board elections, when they maybe don't have a child in the school. Or they also have children that they're in the school, but they're also illegal. And yes, we want to take care of the kids. We are a humane nation. We are a nation built on immigration, legal immigration. What they've done in these laws of these 41 states where the New York Times does not mention, and in fact, there's something like 44 states last year, 44 enacting some 285 bills related to elections. In blue states, the bills tend to, guess what, loosen certain election rules and requirements, especially if you're mail-in or absentee, and to allow more voter boxes, unlocked, unmonitored, dump as many ballots in there as you want. And if you're dead and you're voting, so be it. If you have a residence listed in four different states, you can vote in every state. You want to be honest about all this? You know that that's not fair. I don't care if you're black, yellow, red, or green. You know that's not fair. And again, when they continue to go into January 6th, and I told you tomorrow they're going to be harping on it more and more. I mean, Chuck Schumer has already said he's going to use it as an opportunity to pass new voting reform laws. He does not mean, really, voting reform laws. What he means is more voting opportunities for fraud. But, of course, they also continue to call this an insurrection. We have had a number of people held in jail for some time since January 6th. One of them I'm going to share with you coming up a little bit later has been held in a Virginia jail. He's extremely ill, at risk of dying because he's not being given proper medical care and a special diet for a celiac disease. That's according to his attorney. Now, you can fight and argue over it. But if this, I will put it this way, if this defendant were, quote, a minority, do you not, and had not been part of the January 6th, quote, breach of the grounds, do you think they would be treating him this way? Oh, my God. ACLU would be all over that. Al Sharpton would come out and proclaim injustice. And they continue to call this an insurrection. An insurrection. Well, let's get back to that issue for a moment, because there's a very interesting point there. They want to say this was an insurrection on January 6th, correct? Well, another question from Newsmax, this time to Tristan Justice, who writes for The Federalist. What about this insurrection thing?
Not a single person of anybody who entered the Capitol building, legally or illegally that day, has been charged with insurrection. Why do they continue to drag this on?
Well, I think it's becoming a total hoax because this is the vehicle that House Democrats and Nancy Pelosi are using in the 2022 midterms in the absence of any major legislative victory over the last year with the unified Congress. I mean, look, fabricating evidence is really becoming a routine practice among House Democrats in these types of investigations. We just came out of a 2.5-year Russia hoax. We just came out of a Ukraine hoax. And now we're going into this idea that Donald Trump somehow orchestrated this dark attack on the U.S. Capitol, even though he explicitly told his supporters to protest peacefully. Just this month, we see fabricated text messages come from Jamie Raskin, fabricated text messages come from Adam Schiff, no surprise, and we see a made-up timeline come from Wyoming Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney, who said Donald Trump waited 187 minutes to do anything as the Capitol was under attack, when a real, honest examination of the events showed that Donald Trump waited a mere 25 minutes to make a statement from the first Capitol building breach. And so this has really become the vehicle for which House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is using in the 2022 midterms to try to brand Republicans as complicit in political violence after Democrats spent an entire year justifying political violence themselves because it came in the name of social justice.
Social justice. Social justice. That explains why we had riots in Portland, Seattle, elsewhere. Riddle me this. Of these insurrectionists, and again, in case you have any doubt, I strongly denounce what happened of those attacking police officers at the Capitol. I strongly denounce those breaking their way into the Capitol. I strongly denounce those who might have actually put conservative or liberal members of Congress in fear for their lives. And it was wrong. It was wrong. I'll repeat it over and over again. But riddle me this. Compared to the so-called insurrection, only one gun found that was in somebody's backpack or pocket, never shown. How many Molotov cocktails? How many bottles of filled with urine or feces were splashed on the congressman? How many? How many? Oh, zero? Oh. In social justice cases, they were. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I have a new sponsor just in time that could save you a lot of trouble, maybe pain. K-Guard leaf-free gutter system. Leaves get in your gutter, rain comes, ice. You have a major costly issue. Contact my new sponsor for a free estimate. K-Guard Midwest, locally owned. So you're supporting your neighbors and this program. KGuardMidwest.com. KGuardMidwest.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
2 months ago, you had a number of climate protesters literally storm the Department of Interior. They were storming the Department of Interior in order to affect policy change. I mean, this is a violent, I won't say an overthrow, but it was the exact same level of craziness and violence. I think more people were actually injured in the recent attacks on the Department of Interior than they were at the Capitol riots. So why are we not getting the same footage there?
Well, I take my hat off to the excellent reporting that's been done to expose some of the ways the Democrats have conducted this investigation. The Liz Cheney timeline, I think that's great reporting, and it should be picked up by more organizations. In terms of the comparison, I think we shouldn't let the media double standard that we all know exists regarding the coverage of events like this. Shouldn't let that distract us from understanding what's happened in all cases and pursuing evidence, both by journalists and by government where appropriate, to try to get to the bottom of things and not just throw everything out because of the media bias. If we do that, we're not going to get anything accomplished.
He's absolutely right. We're not going to get anything accomplished. Now, of course, that was part of that Newsmax interview. When they were interviewing one other Newsmax analyst, talking about January 6th coming up and the hearing, and if they've been saying there's all this evidence, as they want to tell you, that there's been an insurrection, where is it? Why? And then why is it so evident? They've got the video. My God, they've got tapes upon tapes upon tapes of video. Is there any piece of video that shows anything of what I talked about earlier? Somebody throwing a Molotov cocktail? Anyone opening fire upon members of the legislature? What they will tell you is, oh, my God, it led to people dying. They want you to take the word dying and interpret it as murdered. They were murdered during that time. There were deaths. But to this date, there is not a single one that has been blamed upon an intent which would constitute murder or even neglect. It's people who had bad hearts, bad conditions. And they've been holding a lot of people in jail on ridiculous charges and sending others to jail. Just yesterday, a young woman who admitted, yeah, I was there. I did go into the Capitol. I was there by video. I was there less than 3 minutes, and she's been sentenced to 6 years. Probably get a probated sentence. She didn't do anything wrong. She just followed the crowd in. I know somebody personally that, hey, say, I didn't do anything. I just saw the doors open. I'd been down at the Trump rally, and I walked up. Yeah, I walked in, saw it, and turned around, walked back out. And yet he's caught on video. Where's all the video of all those folks who were throwing the Molotov cocktails at a federal building in Portland, attacking federal and state police with intent to kill, hitting them in the eyes with lasers? Where? In the meantime, there's a defendant being held in Virginia in connection with this. His attorney says he's extremely ill, at risk of dying because he's not getting proper medical care. He needs a special diet for celiac disease. He's a New Jersey man. Charged in federal court with assaulting multiple law enforcement officers. All right, if they've got proof that he did it, good. Prove it, charge him. But if he needs a special diet during this time to survive, then you should be giving it to him. And I would say that to anyone inside prison. Anyone. All right, I want to take a break. I got a special guest coming up. George Norrie, Coast to Coast AM.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
At Interstate 44 in Hampton, you can find new business and opportunity where there had been nothing. That all changed when Jay Ackerman had a vision. He built the new Ackerman Toyota dealership on one corner. Now other businesses getting involved. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, we have technical problems in this business from time to time, and things that we plan just don't happen. And our next guest is certainly aware of technical problems that come up from time to time. Good friend of mine, and some background on him you might not know. But let me introduce him first. George Norrie. Coast to Coast AM, American late-night talk radio show host dealing with a variety of topics. Some say they frequently involve either paranormal or conspiracy theories, but not all the time. George, glad to have you on board, sir.
Larry, great to be on your program. Looking forward to this, and I hear so many great things about your show. So it's my honor to be on your program.
Thank you, sir. Let's begin with some history, because a lot of folks really don't know your history. A thumbnail sketch of George Norrie. I won't go back to your third grade failing math four times like I did, but go ahead.
Actually, I got A's in math.
Oh, Larry. You would. Yeah, you would. Go ahead.
How far back do you want me to go?
Oh, well, let's pick up. You were in St. Louis for many years.
I came to St. Louis from Minneapolis. I was a director of news planning for the Hubbard stations in Minneapolis, great stations. But a headhunter had called me and said, KSDK, Channel 5, is looking for a news director in St. Louis. You seem extremely qualified. Are you interested? And I said, sure. So I sent my resume in to them. They sent it to the management at Channel 5, and they flew me in, hired me on the spot, and I hired Karen Faust and ended up putting her together with Dick Ford. We became number one in the ratings until you showed up.
Thank you, George. Go ahead.
And that was it. And now, back in 1996, I started doing a local talk show in St. Louis called The Nighthawk. And I got discovered by the folks at Premier Network to fill in for Art Bell on Coast to Coast. They were looking for a backup person. Art had retired a couple times, and they were looking for something with a little more stability to be able to be there for him in a pinch.
Let's go into that in a little bit more detail for a moment. First of all,
okay. You
come from a news background, and in fact, you actually thought about hiring me. So you must be pretty smart. I mean,
I just couldn't afford you.
Unfortunately. Thank you, George. And now I can barely afford to drive you around town. But when you make the break from hard news, and at that time we were not into the today's news where it's always anchors are giving commentaries. You're giving factual information and letting the public make a decision. What kind of twist and turn did that involve going from hard news to Coast AM? And we'll talk about that audience in just a moment.
It was easy for me to do that. And this evolution started for me when I was watching a movie by Oliver Stone called Talk Radio. I've since become dear friends with Oliver's son, Sean, who's a pretty good talent in his own right. And I just saw that and said, you know, it's the one thing I haven't tackled yet in my career. I've not been a talk show host. So I decided, while I was still in St. Louis, that's what I want to do. And I sent out a few resumes. They got picked up by some stations, and I started doing some fill-in talk, got to do full-time talk. And that's when the network, the Premier Network of Coast to Coast, heard me, and they said, this guy's doing the same kind of things we're doing. Let's get him as the backup. And so back in 2001, I did my first coast-to-coast backup show, filling in for Art Bell and Ian Punnett and the people who were doing the show.
We're talking about 20 years ago.
Yeah, 20 years ago. Then in 2003, Art decided to call it quits again. He has since passed on, God rest his soul. And the network came to me and they said, you know what, we really don't have anybody able to do this program other than you. Would you do it full time? And I went, okay. And the rest was history. I will tell you an interesting story if
sure.
you got a second.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right.
Your time.
Let's go all the way back to 1978. So I'm in Detroit. I'm the executive news producer, producing newscasts. My anchor man was a fellow by the name of Ken Thomas. That's the name he used on the air. And as you know, Larry, a lot of people change their name just for air purposes.
Right.
So Ken Thomas was his air name, and he'd bring in his little boy, and they'd play around this newsroom and all that, and then we'd do the newscast, and they'd take the little kid home and stuff like that. Jump ahead to the moment I'm getting hired at Coast to Coast. I'm in the office of the president of the network. His name's Ken Kitchen. Now, Ken Thomas's real name was Ken Kitchen, and he changed it to Ken Thomas.
Oh.
So I'm in the guy's office, and I see a picture of Ken Thomas on his desk. And I said, that's Ken Thomas. And he said, yeah, how do you know him? I said, I used to be his producer. He looked at me, started tearing up, and I said, you were the little boy.
I'll be darned.
And well, it, from that moment on, I got hired.
Wow. That is quite a one of those either coinky-dinky or fate. What do you call it?
I call it fate.
Yeah.
It's in the cards. And so we've been doing Coast to Coast now for... We're beginning our 20th year, and it's number one in the country at late night, as you just pointed out, and we just keep going.
And the podcasts are available for people who want to watch during the day. You've got a video operation now. You have spun off numerous elements of Coast to Coast.
Yeah, we have. We've got BeyondBelief.com, the television show. I'm on regularly on the History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We stream through what we call the Coast Insiders, where it's just a 15 cents a day membership for people who are on the travel and on the go, and they just want to download the program whenever they want. And we podcast as well on the iHeartRadio network. So
now,
we're busy.
I always say it is interesting, and so many different subjects and some of the folks you have on. Generally, you start with a kind of a news approach of the events going on, and then you have some guests on that either supplant those or add some additional material.
Absolutely. It is so important for me to remain as a news person. And my guests have all kinds of flavor, and, you know, we let them talk, Larry. We don't badger them. We don't attack them. It's not attack radio. It would be very easy for someone who's on the show saying that they've been abducted by aliens to attack them and say, no, you're nuts and all that stuff. We don't do that. We make them very comfortable. And the audience picks up on that, and they're very comfortable when they call in.
Now, one reason to do that, obviously, would be longevity. The more I entertain them and make them look like they know what they're talking about and they've accepted, then the more they want to listen. But there's really another part of that, and it sounds to me like it's like you're giving them respect and, you know, let them share the story, and others have similar stories.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that we are lacking in this country today is the ability to talk to people without other people getting upset. I mean, in the old days, I remember dialogue where, you know, if you're for the Vietnam War and I'm against the Vietnam War, you know, we talk about it in good this discussion. Nowadays, people attack each other. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and the other thing about, though, as you said, some of the things that come out, they seem so far out, so far-fetched, and when you answer them and you question them, does it not, I hesitate to use the word, but I'll ask it directly, do you think it taints your credibility, or how do you see it?
No, not at all, because I think people understand that it's a program of open-mindedness, and they're looking at me as the facilitator, and I've always told people who ask me, so what do you believe? I simply say, it doesn't matter what I believe. It depends on what you believe.
Right.
If you hear the show.
And when people have a belief, I'm like you. I mean, it's their belief. I mean, you may argue, you may talk, you may offer some opinions, but it's still going to be their belief.
No question about it. You and I have had friends, Larry, who have a belief system, and they won't budge
from
that.
Yes, yes.
I mean, they stay on that, and, you know, they're vehement about certain things, and you can't change their mind. And that's not our role to do that. We're not on to change their mind. We're there to give honest opinion the best way we can, whether it's the COVID situation or wars or fun things like ghosts and UFOs.
Well, let's talk about, of course, we've had a lot of information about UFOs come out now and videos by the Air Force being released that suddenly raise questions about stuff that came out of Roswell base, that how much of that was real?
Good question. What I find interesting, perplexing, is the fact that the government seems to be releasing more and more information without anything definitive. They're not saying that these are extraterrestrial. They're saying that they are unidentified aerial phenomena. We don't know what they are. They're not Russian. They're not Chinese. We just don't know what they are. So they keep a pretty open mind. But what's fascinating is it's coming out more and more and more. And, you know, there will probably become some kind of disclosure in the not-too-distant future.
And, you know, if you saw a self-bomber, as we saw it fly over a football game the other day, if you saw it for the first time, you'd say, that's got to be UFO. Can you hold over on the commercial? There are a couple more commercials, items I want to raise with you, sir.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and one in the particular has to do with religion and paranormal activity. Please stand by. George Norrie, Coast to Coast AM.
Run with the railroad Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We're back with George Norrie, host of Coast to Coast, heard 600 stations across the nation throughout the night, and one of the, it is, I should say, the most popular program throughout the program, throughout the nation at that time zone and beyond, because there's so many other facets to it. I left off talking about religion. Religion, of course, also takes into place things of, depending upon the religion, ghosts are some what would call paranormal. How is that seen by some of your audience and perspective on that?
Well, it's interesting. The Catholic Church a couple of years ago, Larry, said that the belief in extraterrestrial life does not negate one's belief in God. And they basically came out and supported it. They had a person who has since passed on, a Monsignor Balducci, who was responsible for their extraterrestrial division. I mean, they've got exorcists. They got all kinds of things on staff there at the Vatican. But they had Balducci responsible for ETs and UFOs. And so they were kind of wetting the skids a little bit, letting us know that they're aware that things are happening and that if it becomes known that ETs have been visiting us, that doesn't mean there isn't a God. If anything, that means there is a God. And so they have backed that, and they continue to. So I think religion is truly doing a remarkable job supporting the possibilities that there's life out there in space.
Life out there in space, of course, we look at and we change that constantly. I mean, when I grew up, Pluto was a planet. Now we have decided it's not. And now we see things through microscopes and so forth and inside cells. And I remember distinctly the pictures out of Life magazine when they first came out inside the womb. Amazing visuals that have and instances that have always been there. So it wasn't so far of a stretch of a mind. It's just that we didn't have technology.
Technology is going to make things happen remarkably. The James Webb Space Telescope is now up in space. It's beginning to unfold its solar panels and things like that. And that possibly could give us light to the Big Bang, whatever the Big Bang is. I still haven't had an astrophysicist on the program who could explain what happened from nothing. I don't get it. But they're talking about this telescope will be able to see different planets and things that are millions of light years away, and that's exciting. Technology is going to get us there.
That does not have to be a divide between religion and science, does it?
No, not at all. As the Catholic Church is beginning to point out, there's a crossover between ET life and God life, and it doesn't mean that you're not a believer. So it's happening.
The other thing that comes up, of course, is when you start going down this road, and people are listening, they start laughing and mocking and so forth. That may not be the best reaction all the time.
Some people laugh because it's entertaining, it's fun. Some people take it darn seriously. I happen to take it seriously with an ear of fun. You know, we've had our moments. There's a lady guest I had on years ago, her name was Pamela Stonebrook, who claims that she used to date extraterrestrials. Well, you know, more power to you.
Yeah, and did they bring roses or what, you know? So, I've heard some of these stories where they'll come down and they'll say, you know, George, last night they came, got me up in a bed, took me up into space, took all the parts out of my body, moved them around and everything. I touched them, put them back, and put me back in my bed. You don't laugh.
Nope, I don't put them down. What I'd like to do is draw it out of them so they can keep talking and tell us a great, fun, interesting story. And that's part of the knack of doing what we do, what you do, what I do, what we've done all our life, and that's to draw out the information. You know, you said earlier that anchor people on television are so opinionated these days. I mean, in the old days, we never knew where Walter Cronkite stood on an issue because he presented it to us. The only time I ever saw him with emotion, I was 13 years old and saw him on CBS News somewhat crying when he took his glasses off,
right,
announcing that President Kennedy had been,
right,
assassinated. It's the only time I ever saw him with any kind of emotion. And I try to format my career and my program the same way.
There are two.
I'm non-partial. I don't vote for the president. I want to stay very open-minded. I never want to be accused of supporting this guy or this woman or that person. So I don't vote. And he didn't vote. Cronkite never voted.
There is only, of course, you had Limbaugh, and he had a very direct message. But when you talk about storytelling, the legend that comes to mind is Paul Harvey. In the last 20 seconds or so, what do you think?
Good day. He was the best.
Yeah.
I met him one time in Los Angeles at an event, and the guy had magic all around him, but he understood how to write, he understood how to communicate, and more importantly, he understood people. And I think that's the secret to everything we do.
And letting them tell their story. George, thank you very much for your time. You've been very gracious. I know the audience enjoyed it. George Norrie, rather, Coast to Coast at 9 a.m. to midnight.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.